live to live righteously.
It's time for another episode of the Cultural Hall, and it is episode number 257. Thank you for joining me. It is Talks on Talks, and I just want to keep saying on Talks and then go on Talks. It's a podcast, and I appreciate Jason and Wes, the founders and voices that you hear from that podcast, being here with me. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now, Jason or Wes, who came with the idea? How does this whole thing start?
Well, this is Wes. Jason, let's say Jason so you can, like, you know, identify your voice.
This is Jason.
Okay. Fantastic. Identified.
Perfect.
Okay. So I came up with the idea just because I was trying to listen to podcasts on the way to school. I have a pretty lengthy commute. Just a little context, I'm in dental school. Jason is in medical school.
Okay, so it's a couple of nerds here. Got it.
Absolutely. And we don't have enough on our plate, so we decided to start a podcast. And, you know, I was listening to conference talks, and they just go so quick when you're on a drive.
Okay.
So I thought it'd be nice if someone could just break these down. And Jason and I had gone on a few long drives with our families on vacations together, talking about gospel things. Once again, couple of nerds, and decided he would be the perfect co-host, and lucky for me, he accepted.
Now, are you guys going to the same school?
Yeah, same university, just different colleges in the university.
Yeah, obviously dental and medical. And then what, remind me, you said what school?
It's Western University of Health Sciences in Pomona, California.
Whew. Okay,
so
it's the it's the California commute. Let's talk about that. How long is that really?
For you, it's not very long.
It's close. I don't have to get on the freeway. I'm only 8 minutes away from school.
Yeah, Jason can scooter. I'm about 35 minutes, 40 minutes coming home at least.
Okay, so I'm going to try not to be insulted because I feel like Cultural Hall episodes are like an hour. So that's more than enough for your commute right there. But you were listening to conference talks. I'll give you a pass as far as that goes.
Okay, I'll take it. At that time, honestly, I didn't know there were Mormon podcasts.
Okay.
I listened to other podcasts and like numerous podcasts and didn't know there were Mormon podcasts where people could like have a podcast and not get in trouble with the higher ups in the church.
Uh-huh.
So I said, you know, someone should do it. And then as soon as I enter into this world, I'm exposed to the Cultural Hall and many others, and there's just like there's a ton now.
Yeah, careful who you name here, pal.
The Cultural Hall is the only one that will be named.
Thank you.
Let's be clear about that.
Yeah, the other ones shall not be named.
No.
I want to back up a little bit. So, Jason, tell me about you. Where are you from? What's your story?
I grew up in the Bay Area in California, and that's basically it.
Oh, come on.
I grew up there. I went to BYU. I did my mission in the States in Wisconsin.
Okay.
And I met a bunch of medical students there. That's what got me interested in medicine. And yeah, just came back to BYU, started studying science. And I worked for a couple years, got married, and just started school a couple years ago. And that's when I met Wes.
So let me ask you about that. How was the mission in Wisconsin? What's that experience like?
It was a great experience. I mean, it's like one of those places that you're just never going to go. You know what I mean? It's not on the way to anything.
Okay.
And it feels that way there. It's like,
super.
But I love it. You know,
super cold.
The Midwest is wonderful. Yeah,
super
very
cold.
Cold.
Yeah.
Very cold. Very cold.
Humid in the summertime, I presume.
It is. It is indeed.
And the church out there, what's that like?
There's no temple in Wisconsin.
Okay.
I served in a few branches, but most of my time I was in Milwaukee area, and there's a few stakes there, so the church is pretty strong there.
I believe that the Algonquin tribe called it Milwaukee, and thank you.
Exactly right.
No, I'm just teasing. So not necessarily huge. So what temple is it for the Milwaukee, Wisconsin people?
So Chicago.
Okay.
And then some people in Wisconsin go to St. Paul, Minnesota as well.
Okay.
The higher up you go.
And a lot of people join in the church in Wisconsin?
You know, not too many. It was a hard mission, actually. There's a lot of missionaries go home without having seen any baptisms their whole mission. So it was a toughie. It was a goodie, though.
Is it predominantly just because of a, I would assume, Midwest Catholic culture?
Catholic and Lutheran, yeah.
Okay.
There's a lot of, like, German, Polish. I mean, it kind of feels European almost a little bit.
Okay.
Over there.
So Wes, give me your bit like that.
Okay, so I'm from Highlands Ranch, Colorado. My wife is also from Highlands Ranch, Colorado.
High school sweethearts?
No, I was a senior. She was a freshman, and I was her older brother's best friend. So kind of breaking the bro code to make that happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're still on good terms.
Is it worth it? Was it worth breaking the bro code? Because sometimes breaking
absolutely.
The bro code, I mean, you have to be careful.
No. Absolutely. Absolutely worth it. So from Highlands Ranch, Colorado, I served my mission in Maceió, Brazil.
Okay.
I didn't leave on my mission until I was a junior in college because I was pretty strictly, like, atheist from the age of, like, 17 to 21.
Okay.
Right around there.
I'm ready for this story, then.
I don't know what it was. I just grew up very skeptical, asking a lot of questions. And then I went to school, actually, in the University of Colorado, Boulder.
Okay.
Which is a very, very liberal, open-minded party school. And having been raised in an LDS family, I still wasn't into that. That wasn't my scene. So I always kind of tried to stay away from that. And eventually it led to analysis of my own life and what I wanted. And I realized I never gave my own religion a shot. And
okay.
I was looking for a foundation. So I did and loved it. Went on a mission at the age of 21. Loved it. Came home so in love with the gospel that now we have a gospel-oriented podcast.
Right.
And, so I finished up there as an English major and then came to California for dental school. And in the middle there, married my wife in Utah.
Okay.
Well, I married her in Colorado, but lived in Utah for the first year of our marriage. So.
Okay. A few questions about that, obviously.
Please.
Coming from a place of atheism, or not really true atheism, obviously, not to discount your atheism, right? But you're kind of going, well, maybe,
right,
but maybe not so
of
much
course.
Atheist. Right? Like, I feel like a true atheist is like, no way, I'm not going back from that. But maybe not. I don't know. I've never tried atheism. You said you sort of didn't enjoy the party culture that maybe some would associate with the university that you went to. But you went on a mission at the age of 21. Was that after the age change for missions? So there were 18-year-olds that were able to go at that time?
No. When I came home, my first general conference was when they announced the age change.
Okay.
So I was out there with the youngest were still 19.
Okay. Because I was going to say, I always had a particular amount of envy on one hand and also just pity on the other hand for older serving missionaries. Because you can serve. I don't know if people know this. I think it's common knowledge, but I guess not. Women can serve whenever. There's not an age change or an age cutoff for women. Once they turn 19 now, they can serve whenever. But for men, they can only serve, I know it was 19 to 26, and I would assume that they just dropped the other end, and now it's 18 to 26, or is it 18 to 25?
I think it's still 18 to 26.
Yeah,
I haven't heard it different.
So with that, like the guys that came in and were like, real good, strong individuals were 25 years old, already had a degree and, like, you know, working in real life. Like, there was something sort of envious about those individuals and also something that I sort of pitied for them because they had to put up with idiots like me at 19.
I don't think I ever felt the frustration with anyone being young. In fact, I feel like when I went out, my age reset to be 19.
Huh.
And when I came home, I was 23, but I felt like I was finally the 21-year-old that I was supposed to leave as. So it kind of gave me back 2 years of youth.
Nice. So why the particular fields? Why a doctor, and then what kind of doctor, and why a dentist? Why are we doing that? I mean, I know that's a Mormon thing to do, but each of you share your stories. Maybe... Maybe we go, Jason, why are you going to be a doctor?
Actually, like I said, I met medical students on my mission, but at that time, I had no idea what I ever wanted to do. I never had an idea growing up, but I met some people, and then I studied my patriarchal blessing, and it was just kind of one day, it was a light bulb kind of moment, and it just seemed right, and I felt like that was what I was supposed to do, and I felt, and I still feel like it was more than just a choice, like, this is a career I want. I felt like it's a calling, and it's what I'm supposed to do.
What kind of doctor? So, what kind of doctor are you going to be?
I haven't figured out yet. I'm still working on it. I'm in my third year of medical school, where you do a little bit of everything. You know, you bounce around to different hospitals and different doctors and try it all out. But I'm thinking something in surgery. Maybe I might be some kind of surgeon.
I'm going to be some kind of surgeon. Do you hear that?
That's the plan.
Hey, son, what are you doing at school? I don't know, Dad. I'm going to be some kind of surgeon. I love it. All right, Wes, what about you?
You know, I think earlier in life, you know, my dad always encouraged everyone in the family. He said, I don't care what you do as long as you're a doctor of something. And in our mind, that always meant, like, a doctor, because you don't know that there are doctors of music and doctors of philosophy and doctors of anything else. But I was just thinking, you know, being a doctor, I don't know if that's really for me. That was like around the age of 15, 16. I was like, oh, a dentist is a...
It's a teeth doctor.
Right, yeah. So over time, though, I didn't know what it was about dentistry that wanted to bring me in. Like, it wasn't just because of my parents kind of pushing us in that direction, but there was some reason that I wanted to get into dentistry, and I didn't know what it was. It was just I was drawn that direction. And honestly, I don't think it was until the last year of being in school where I've really, like, found out what it is about dentistry that I really connect with. And it just comes back to, one, the opportunity to serve people, do a profession that's, you know, will help me provide for my family and all that stuff. But at the same time, like, there's this opportunity for entrepreneurship in dentistry that you can really do your own thing and focus on what you want to focus on. And that's just always been the way that I was raised. Like, my dad always owned his own business. He was an accountant, a CPA, but then he wanted to get out of the office, so he owned a hardwood floor business. And so I learned doing, you know, numbers in his office, but then also going out and learning how to do some construction work. And I wanted that kind of freedom of being my own boss. And that's something I've really, like, embraced in the past year. But at the same time, you know, I had this gift where I wasn't super grossed out by teeth, and I thought if I don't use that, I will squander that opportunity.
What kind of dentist will you be? I know there's a lot of, like, you know, geriatric dentist, pediatric, there's orthodontics. Right. If you have any sort of decision as far as that goes?
No, I think I'm going to go with the general dentistry. Okay. I'm doing everything because I love everything, have so many passions. I'm a hobby guy, where I think that if you're not doing something on the side and having a hobby that really motivates you, in addition to a career that motivates you, then you're kind of missing an opportunity to suck the marrow out of life, as they say in Dead Poets Society.
Yeah. Awkwardly in Dead Poets Society, to suck the marrow.
Of course. With the barbaric yop, right?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm going for, is to get the most out of everything. And I feel like if I pigeonhole myself into one thing, I'm going to feel handcuffed.
Yeah, trapped.
So that's my thing.
Yeah, it's why I won't get married again. Just kidding. Okay, that was a joke, everyone, especially my girlfriend who might listen to this in the future. So I want to give you guys the platform now. Hop up on the Ramyumpton, and I want you to tell people about Talks on Talks. I've never heard of it, per se. No. I've heard of it. I've listened to it. I'm just saying, if I've never heard of it or listened to it, what do I expect? What do I expect from it? How does it go?
Well, it's kind of a Talks on Talks is kind of an aim, I think, to make conference more listenable for people. We enjoy talking about it, and we hope that listening to our podcast will make other people enjoy listening to conference more. We want it to be more accessible. We want it, it's kind of like we try not to take ourselves too seriously. We're just kind of two guys that are discussing it and saying what we got out of it, and if you like it, great, and if you don't, I guess see you later.
Yeah, at the beginning we were taking it talk by talk.
Okay.
Trying to break down, you know, we'll focus on who the speaker was and give an interesting fact, and then we'll break down different principles, and then we'll find a couple of quotes that we really enjoy. And instead of just reading the quotes, we have permission from the church to play the quotes themselves and hear the audio of the speaker. And then we kind of talk about what did that mean to you, or how have you seen that in your life? And the answers are usually a lot more entertaining than those questions are.
Wait.
Like, one time we were talking about the Book of Mormon and how the Book of Mormon, you know, how our testimonies of the Book of Mormon grew. And Jason talked about being in elementary school and having a playground where they would, you know, rehearse King Mosiah. And that's one of the things that they did in the stake to learn about the Book of Mormon and to hear each other's stories. But as time has gone on and as school has changed for us, where we're not in the same place all the time, we're kind of transitioning to doing more interviews of other people about their favorite conference talks, their favorite quotes, and then sharing some of those to get more voices, because there's only so much, you can only handle us talking for so long. It's true. And then at the end of every episode, as we wrap it up, after everything, we play the closing testimony from one of the speakers that we discussed. And then we have a section called The Virtuous, Lovely, and Good Report. Mm-hmm. And that is where we share something that's not necessarily from church. That's definitely not from the talk. It's just something that is virtuous, lovely, you know, good report. We've been seeking after these things, and we want to share them.
Nice.
And it's hopefully things that, you know, that people can use in their own talks when they're giving talks. Things that are quotes from presidents or poems from old dead people. Something that is inspirational and motivational, and hopefully, eventually, we want to make like a bank of those things that people can go to talksontalks.com. And check out, you know, I'm looking for a quote that has, or a poem that has something to do with faith, and it'll give them some resources. So that's kind of the grand scheme of how an episode runs for us.
And you said that you have permission from the church to be able to do it?
Yeah, in the sense of, like, can we use audio on a podcast? Yeah. It's not like, you know, we talked to the church and said, like, you know, are you down with us having, you know, they gave us that permission of put something on your website that says we are not affiliated with and not an entity of and all that stuff. So, yeah.
And just so long as you do that, you can have those small little portions. That's awesome.
Yes, but we won't be reproducing them and then putting advertisements at the front. That's a different ballgame.
So it'll be totally free. And I guess that's probably where the thing is. So we do advertisements. We couldn't get it. I was like, wait a minute. How did you guys do it? Maybe you had an in. One of your last names was McConkie or Hinckley.
Not quite.
Hi, friends. Dan the Laptop Man here from PC Laptops. I get a lot of emails with feedback from customers. Here's one. Dear Dan, I just had the best experience ever. I bought a computer from Shane at your State Street store. I asked several what I thought were really stupid questions. Shane was super courteous and made me feel comfortable through the whole process. People need to understand how important it is to support a local company, especially when your experience is so good. PC Laptops really does love me. Signed, Satisfied. I love hearing feedback like that. It really just gives me the chills. It's the whole reason why I got into the computer business in the first place. You can get a brand new PC Laptops desktop for as low as $799, and it comes with a lifetime warranty. That means if anything goes wrong, we're gonna take care of you. Just check us out at PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com. At PC Laptops, we really do love you.
Imagine running a small business today. It's challenging. Imaging and internet presence is an absolute must. Even with that, you're still a small star in a bright cyber universe. Now, imagine you have someone who understands how to get your site designed for your talents and then easily searched by potential clients. Imagine Lennon Design. Whether it's strictly a website or a whole package of logo creation, advertising media, and promotional materials, Lennon Design is your partner in business. They'll test the boundaries of their imagination to create something unique for you. When you need creative, affordable design, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
The Cultural Hall wants you to help Utah Food Bank fight hunger statewide. Through your donations of food, time, or money, Utah Food Bank is able to distribute over 31 million meals annually to Utahns facing hunger. Even a $1 donation can be turned into $7.35 of goods and services. One in five children in Utah could go to bed hungry tonight, and 423,000 Utahns are unsure where their next meal will come from. By donating food at your local pantry or by visiting utahfoodbank.org, you can make a difference.
So it's interesting where you talk about the kind of the journey of where it's been, right? It's funny, if you listen to podcasts from the beginning, the cultural hall included in this, your guys', as it sounds like from your description, to from what you sought, what you seek out to have the thing be, to then you sort of find a niche or a way that it's starting to move, and then how different things just influence it and change it, right? Mm-hmm. It was going to be Talks on Talks. Now it's still Talks on Talks, but it's Talks with other folks on Talks and getting their kind of thing. And it's interesting to just see how over time, some of your favorite podcasts, if you look back into it, where they started to where they are, it's night and day different.
Definitely. And it also has a, you know, your resources play into what you're able to accomplish as well.
Yeah.
Like originally, we were going once a week, sometimes twice a week. And I know all podcasts start off with that initial punch, you know, of that initial momentum.
Right.
And then we got to the point where we got into board study and we couldn't keep up that momentum for very long. And we did it for a good couple months, though, that we were really hitting them regularly.
Banking them out.
And now we're having to, you know, go a little slower once or mostly twice a month, right? Trying to keep that going while we're trying to figure out where are we going to go with it? How is it going to take the next step so that it can continue to be, you know, better than it was and continue to get better? But as our resources change, we don't want to just let it fall off.
Sure.
We want to let it grow by changing it and helping other people get their voices in. That, I think, is what's going to take it to the next level, where we're able to, you know, get people more interested and people sharing it with their family and their friends and realizing that this is a good resource, not just for us because we enjoy doing it, which at the end of the day, that's really what it why it started and what it comes down to. But that it's been helpful for people as we've seen people have a good response to it.
Yeah. Talk about people's response. What have people said to you?
I mean, I've, it's hard to think of things other than just what my wife says. She,
number one.
Yay.
Fan.
You know, yeah, maybe number one fan a little bit. She's got a lot of good things to say. No, but I think most people have said they just really enjoy listening to the things that we're able to come up with, because I think Wes and I are actually pretty different people, but we do well talking together about the gospel. Mm-hmm. And we kind of, as we bounce ideas off each other, sometimes some pretty weird stuff comes out, I guess.
Yeah.
But it gets people thinking a little bit, and that's what's really been a blessing to me, is to hear other people say, you know what, I really appreciate what you said because it made me think about something differently, or I felt the spirit when you guys talked about this. Just uplifting people. Anytime I hear any kind of feedback like that, it makes me happy.
You guys,
yeah, like we started it like literally just to talk about it, and it would kind of be a record of us sharing our thoughts and stuff. And then we started an Instagram because I guess with General Conference, Instagram and Pinterest and stuff is huge. People sharing their quotes and people have templates ready while the talks are going on to type things up and share them immediately. You know, they're crazy with how they do it. So we thought Instagram would be a good place to kind of share the Talks on Talks podcast. And people would follow us, but on Instagram, people follow anybody. But as certain people would start sharing it or posting about, you know, you guys have to check out this podcast, people that are not family or friends, it was cool to see that people are actually hearing it and getting, you know, giving us some feedback. In fact, as we started scaling back the number of episodes, what really motivated me was emails and Facebook messages from people who said, hey, like, I noticed that there wasn't an episode this week. Is there anything I can do to help?
What's going on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
you guys okay?
You know, yeah. So it's actually motivating to hear that people want to hear about it and want it to continue, and so that keeps us getting more interviews and getting more people involved. It's not just us, so that's been good.
It will become both the good and bad with it, right? Like when you're like, man, we don't have enough time to do this. How are we going to do this? I guess I can see my wife and my kids, or I can do this podcast. And you're like, well, I guess, you know, people keep, anyway, it sometimes can become a thing where you're like, okay, but what's the most important thing? My family, or what's the most important thing? I'm in medical school. I can put off putting out an episode for a day because I've got finals to, you know, or boards or whatever the things may be. But it is interesting the way like feedback from folks can both be very like prompting to get you to do stuff, and also sometimes so hard to hear, where it's like, I've been waiting for it and I'm not getting it. Are you guys Are we done? I think I'm gonna be done with you guys. Are we done? Are we done now?
Yeah, terrible.
Yeah. So what's the future? You're planning on talking to just guests and going it that way? Is that the thought?
Both.
A little bit of both. Yeah.
Because we really enjoy, you know, getting to sit down and talk with each other about it. But also we know that we only have so many experiences between the two of us. And so the more interviews that we can get, I think the better. And those will focus, you know, not always on just one talk. They'll be able to hit numerous talks in conference. When we have a guest come on, they'll share, you know, four quotes from four different talks. Whereas the way that we do it is we kind of sit down and break down one at a time. And so we'll kind of, you know, pick our greatest hits from conference and talk about them between the two of us. But for our listeners, we want anything that's, you know, the listeners that come on to be interviewed, we want them to share, you know, four to five quotes of something that touched them or explains their story. And so we're kind of trying to tell people's story through conference talks. You know, this is a quote that would have really helped me when my faith was struggling as a teenager, or this is something that I really needed to hear during conference because my kids were bugging me and this was motivating, or something like that. It's to interview someone and to get their story, but also get it through, you know, words of the prophet and how those things will motivate them and keep them going.
There's also like the old, you know, there's so many conference talks available going back so many years. Mm-hmm. We also have talked about getting into some of the older classic conference addresses and kind of breaking them down a little bit too, because it would be a shame to not talk about some of those great, great talks from the past.
Yeah, an interesting kind of like sub-series for me as you are talking about that I would love is to hear, maybe you start here, but to do the talks of the last talks of the prophets before they passed away. So President Hinckley's last talk, President, you know, Hunter's last talk, you know, President McKay's talk, their last talk that they gave in a general conference before they passed away. That could be kind of a fascinating thing.
That's cool. I like it.
I've been thinking about that lately with President Monson. There's that talk that's, I know it's on YouTube. I don't know if LDS.org has access or they don't share it, but it's President Monson's first talk ever.
Right.
When he was called to be an apostle, mm-hmm. and how he talks about, you know, him being up at the pulpit and the stuff that was written on the stand and a reminder of, like, I think it was like Faith Starts Here, something like that. Like hearing his perspective almost change from his first talk as an apostle to whatever may be his last talk. And so I've been bouncing that around. That's cool that you thought that.
Yeah. And then also too, like, I think that there are, with minimal amounts of research, like the classic, pinnacle, not life-changing, but like church-changing talks. You know,
yeah.
you think about the declaration about the priesthood. You think about Bruce R. McConkie's last talk. People will often, you know, talk and share about the power of that one. The covering the earth with the Book of Mormon that President Benson did, the dotting the world with temples that President Hinckley did. I mean, there are some, there's some fun sub-series there for you guys. That's cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, if you just weren't busy being doctors and dentists, maybe you could put one out more than, no, I'm just kidding.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That was a funny question my brother asked me recently. He said, you know, like, so do you think at any point you could do this full time? And I was like, over being a dentist.
Yeah.
Like, I wish I could do this full time. But no, it'll always be that thing, that project that, you know, I think Jason has said it before in one of our episodes or a different interview. He said, you know, even if we look back and it's just a record of where we were in our lives, or it's just kind of like an audio journal, like that'll still be fine. But we hope that people, you know, take more from it.
So I have to ask you this. You guys were on Peculiar People, another LDS podcast, and yet you started to talk about some people that shouldn't be named. So now I'm going to shame you into what you guys were talking about.
Right. No, this is you bringing this up. If you want to talk about it, we'll go there.
So Peculiar People I had the opportunity to be on, and I guess it was by your recommendation. You said, oh, we've heard of this cultural hall thing, and Peculiar People had not heard of it. Is that how the story goes as far as you're concerned?
That is correct. That conversation happened once the microphone was done recording. What happened while it was on, I don't know, that's public record. But
right, and it's interesting because while things were public record, no mention of the cultural hall, gentlemen.
I know. I'll talk to Nate from the Peculiar People, see if he can go in, and we'll do like a follow-up episode where that's all I talk about.
Okay.
You can interview with a fan of the Cultural Hall podcast.
Yeah. I am so ridiculous about some things, but like, you know, if you could have chosen any other podcast, you know what I'm saying? There was any other one.
You know, we tonight actually we recorded an episode about the Christmas devotional, and one of the things that they talked about was that Christmas is a season to give the gift of love, the gift of service, and the gift of forgiveness.
Right.
So, as we enter mid-December, while we're recording this, I just ask you, please, from the bottom of my heart,
just keep that in mind.
Please. Just forgive me. It's
hat in hand.
Do you guys, it's such a ridiculous thing. The other thing is, and I'm not going to mention the name of this other podcast, but it's sort of fabricated, right? I don't know that we really don't like each other.
Uh-huh.
I don't know that there really is a lot of animosity or like bad feelings, but because there was ish kind of once upon a time, I have perpetuated it ever since that time.
It's fine. It's like, who is it? Jimmy Kimmel and Matt Damon?
Exactly.
That they had going on? No, I don't know. I honestly, like, I had listened to both, you know, I had listened to many LDS podcasts. And then when another podcast, I don't know, am I allowed to say any names of any podcast?
You can say anyone but the one that I'm speaking of.
Okay, all right. So we were on the Leading LDS did a webinar where they invited a couple of podcasts on to talk about it. And I had no idea there was any sort of that history there until you guys were kind of talking. You know, it was a bunch of podcast hosts, for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about. And we were interviewed about, you know, what podcasts are and trying to get people to listen to them and hear a couple of good podcasts to check out. And then you, Richie, just said, you know, like there was a little bit of banter going on, and I picked up on it. I was like, okay, good to know.
Good to know and not do anything about, because when you had the opportunity to pay homage, you didn't until the microphones were off.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. But hey, you got a whole great episode out of it, right?
Yeah.
I actually listened to that episode with the Peculiar People, and it was fantastic. I'm very curious about the clown school. If you're ever open to talk about that on the Cultural Hall, I would be fascinated.
If you listen to the old episode, now we've gone so inside on this thing. If you listen to the old episode 54, I think is the one that I'm on. I talk about it a little, but I may open up and in the new year we might be changing things up a little bit here, maybe we'll do some addressing of some of that stuff. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Fascinated. Even Jason doesn't really listen to many podcasts,
uh-huh.
So he's totally in the dark on what we're talking about.
I have no idea what's happening right now.
Well, Jason, you're going to need to not be in the dark anymore. Come to the light.
All right.
Right.
You know, maybe if there's an episode of Talks on Talks, I have favorite talks. I'm just saying that could be an option.
We'll,
you know, once you guys get your doctorate and your DDS, maybe we can chat.
We will make it happen. You're not.
Let me ask you guys these couple questions. You know that these are coming, Wes, but Jason, you obviously do not. Let me start with Jason first. Jason, do you have a calling right now? And if so, what is it?
I'm the Elder Scorn president.
Well,
my bishop promised me when we moved to the ward that, he would, you know, take it easy on us as medical students, cause he knows how busy it is.
Uh-huh.
And then, he just completely threw that out the window.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no worries. It's just an Elder's Quorum president. You'll be fine. Just fine. That sounds so stressful to me.
It's a good calling, though. I delegate a lot because the further I get in school, the more I have to travel around to go to different places. I'm not always there, so I just kind of rely on my counselors.
Which, you know, delegation and learning to delegate may be the reason why you got the calling.
Maybe.
No, really.
Maybe.
I'm being sincere in that. If you were one who struggled with delegation in that, like, that could very well be where it's like, you know what, I got no choice, but for this to get done, it's going to have to be this way.
Yeah, no, totally. It has been a good experience.
What about for you, Wes? What's your calling right now?
I am the Sunday school teacher for the 16 and 17-year-olds, which is my favorite calling of all time. I love it more than anything.
Pretty good bunch of kids?
Yeah, they're pretty nice, but it's just like, that's the age when I fell away from the church. And so I have the opportunity to say all the things I wish would have been said to me at that time.
Like,
have, like, give
don't
them those
leave church.
Yeah. Like, keep coming here.
Yeah.
Jason, if you could pick a calling for yourself, either one that exists or make one up, what would you pick?
I like teaching as well. I think any kind of teaching position I really enjoy. So probably just like elders quorum teacher, a little bit lower stress than like a gospel doctrine or something.
Okay.
I'm all about that.
Okay. What about for you, Wes?
I do love my current calling, so I think I would either keep that or I would make up a calling to take care of every little thing that bothers me while I walk around the church building. So it wouldn't be like facilities or anything like that, but if I see something that I want fixed, I have like the right to fix it.
All right, wait a minute. What is this? What are you talking about? Be specific.
I don't know. Like if I see like a picture on the wall that like has like, you know, it's planted, I can fix it. But if like the picture is old and like faded, I want the church to look like pristine.
Uh-huh.
I want it to look temple-ish, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I would have a budget that I would be able to buy my own decor.
Okay.
And reorganize things, redecorate things, get new carpet in there.
So a reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, huh? Okay.
Something like that.
That's funny. You're a little OCD then, yeah?
A little bit. I don't know. Like in dental school, they grade us down to the tenth of a millimeter, so you tell me.
Yep. So you're not OCD, you're just a dentist.
That's right.
The last question I ask everybody that steps here into the cultural hall is, and I'll ask you in the same order, Jason first and then Wes. Talking about your faith, what is your favorite part of your faith?
Huh. That's a great question.
Thank you.
I think what comes to my mind is I was born of goodly parents, and for some reason, somehow through their years of teaching me, it was ingrained in me that like a sense of duty and a sense of commitment to the gospel that I don't know exactly where it came from, but I think one of my favorite parts about my faith is I feel like I've decided that I'm going to be an active member of the church for the rest of my life. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't, there's no question in my mind that I'm sticking with it. Or like when it comes to priesthood duties, there's no question about should I go home teaching or should I go to church this Sunday? You just do it. It's a part of who I am. And that's something I take pride in that I want to, I think, instill in my children as well. I want them to be able to feel that way. That I don't want to say like there's no option, meaning like you don't have a choice.
No agency.
But to me, I really feel like I've decided and I'm firm in that decision. So I don't know. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I think a thing like that can protect you from times where maybe you're not feeling it so much. But I think there's something there's something very much to be said about continuing to do it and figuring out what it means and how it negotiates with whatever faith question you might have or whatever. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I agree with that. And as I've seen like friends, you know, as I've grown, like leave the church for whatever reasons, it's helpful for me to just kind of have that to fall back on. Like, okay, they made the choice for these reasons, but I have made my choice and I'm going to stick with it. So what you said is spot on.
All right, Wes.
Okay, my favorite part of my faith, I think, is the idea of infinite potential. That's something that I really connect with, that through my faith, I can make myself a better person to the point of eventually one day perfection. And not just that I can do it, but that anybody can do it. And that was a big part for me coming back to church. For the longest time, I thought that my experience returning to the gospel was so unique and so specific to me,
mm-hmm.
that same experience couldn't happen to somebody else. But eventually, you know, as you learn more about the gospel and learn more about what God is capable of, he can give anyone that unique, specific, individualized, tailor-made experience. And when they come to embrace the gospel, learn more about their infinite potential. And there was one of the Virtuous Lovely Good Report things that I shared recently was a quote from C.S. Lewis, who actually Jason always shares a C.S. Lewis quote almost during the Virtuous Love of Good Report. But it said something like, you have never met a mere mortal. If you were to see the people around you, even the laziest of the lazy, for their potential and what they could one day become, you would be almost inclined to worship that person.
Hmm.
And I feel like that idea of infinite potential and what we can become and what God wants us to become and what he wants us to have, that for me, is at the center of everything that the atonement's about, the church is about, is just trying to make people better, better than they are.
I like it. I like it all.
Thanks.
Tell people where they can find you on all the social medias and the podcasts and website and all that stuff. This is your chance. Sell it, baby.
Okay. Please, hat in hand again, visit us at talksontalks.com. That's where you can read all of the show notes. We are on iTunes, Stitcher, Overcast, any podcast catcher that you use to listen to podcasts, you can find us there. We are on Instagram at Talks on Talks, Twitter at Talks on Talks, but we really only use that during general conference. And then people can email us at talksontalks.com. Another thing we're trying to do...
At gmail.com.
At talksontalks.com? Yeah, at gmail.com. There you go. Another thing that we're trying to do is get people to record little intros to Talks on Talks. So if anyone out there would like to help us out, you can record yourself saying, "Hi, this is so-and-so from wherever I live, and you're listening to Talks on Talks." And we're going to use those little clips as intros into our episodes. So that's something that if you don't want to come on and be interviewed, which anyone is welcome to, you can help us out by sending us one of those.
Okay, perfect. Sorry, I was just writing something down that I wanted to not forget about this episode. Well, I hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body, and that if you weren't healthy enough to listen this week, that you'll be healthy enough to listen next week, and that when the time comes, you'll be able to travel home in safety. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you on the back row of the Cultural Hall. Done!
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat on the back.